Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Dotson of Guelph Politico. Today I talked to Velma Morgan, the chair of Operation Black Vote Canada. This is where the hard work of changing the system and combating systemic racism begins. For almost 2 months now, there have been marches, demonstrations, and meetings, all designed to promote the cause. But if we're going to tear down the system and build something more equitable, that's going to be a more long-term fight, and that's going to involve getting people of color into that system and making them an active part of it. So how do we begin? Why don't we begin with this podcast? Getting out the black vote and creating more equitable electoral systems is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, crunching the numbers on Guelph's demographics, according to the 2016 census, Guelph's minority community makes up 18.8% of our population. Now, if you transfer that number into council seats, then 2.6 seats on city council should be seated by a visible minority representative, but let's round that up to three. Three seats out of 13. It doesn't seem that hard, but when you look around the council chambers, when you're in the council chambers for that matter, and you note the vast majority of delegates and spectators are white, and you wonder, where might those three people of color come from? How do we make people of color in our community feel more comfortable in the council chambers, and how do we make more space for them in our politics? I started seeking out an expert to lend some advice on this matter and point out some perhaps successful strategies, and I found Velma Morgan of Operation Black Vote Canada. Morgan's CV as an activist is too lengthy to be covered here, but among her accomplishments is co-creating the Black Women's Political Summit, the Next Generation Political Summit, the Black Political Leader Summit in Nova Scotia, and the first Black Community Provincial Leaders Debate in the last provincial election here in Ontario. Her efforts have helped pass legislation in Ontario, including the Ontario Immigration Act and Ontario Black History Month, and she co-authored Blurred Vision, which is a document that provides strategies to educators on how to harness diversity within the classroom and the school system. At Operation Black Vote Canada, Morgan and her colleagues run programs to educate, promote, and support Black Canadians' participations in Canada's political processes at all levels of elected office, and that includes also local boards and seats in governments as well. It seems to me that her advice should be essential listening on this topic, so let's hear what she has to say. So this week on the Guelph Politicast, Morgan will lay out the work of Operation Black Vote Canada, their accomplishments, and the current picture of Black representation at all levels of government. We also talk about voter turnout amongst Black Canadians, the extent of the barriers for Black Canadians to get involved in politics, and whether they're more likely to get involved in provincial or federal politics over local positions. And then finally, we will discuss the racial bias in municipal politics, what current members of city council should be doing to encourage diversity, and what we should all be doing in our community for the next 2 years to get more people of color involved in politics before the next municipal election. So I caught up with Velma Morgan from her office in Toronto late last week by phone. Velma Morgan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Adam.
Let's start with the basics for those who may not know about your organization, Operation Black Vote Canada. It may seem self-explanatory, but can you talk a bit about what you do and what your organization does?
Yes. So Operation Black Vote Canada is a nonprofit, multi-partisan organization with the goal of getting more Black people to run and elected to political office at all three levels of government. We also lobby for the appointments of Black people to agencies, and boards, and commissions, again, at all three levels. And we highlight those who are elected that are Black, and we provide information and resources to the community so they are informed and hopefully get to the ballot and vote, because voting is very important for us. Another thing that's very important for us is representation. We think there should be a Black person at every decision-making table in Canada, because all those decisions affect us and our community.
And how do you measure success? Because you're talking about almost like changing the system. You're tackling a whole system-wide thing. But, you know, in terms of measuring your progress, and I guess by that, the progress of Black Canadians to get involved in the political process, how are you measuring that?
Right. So we measure it by the amount of people who run for political office. We've actually seen an increase over a couple of years running for municipal government. It's very hard to measure voter turnout because unless we do exit voting, which we haven't done yet, but there has been an increase in interest in the political system and the way things work, how to get involved. People want to know, how do we volunteer? If I don't want to run, what are other ways that I can be political? Because, politics is embedded in all aspects of our life. So how can I participate without having to run? And so we provide them with those opportunities. We have workshops. We have a international women's summit every year. We have a next generation political summit for youth to get youth involved. And I'll take a moment with the youth summit. The youth summit is not only to provide our youth with information about civic engagement. It's also to provide our youth with information about the opportunities that are out there in government. So, for instance, every year, there is a youth internship program at different levels of government. You could be a page in Ottawa. You could be a page in the Ontario legislature. So these are opportunities that, if we don't provide this information to our community, they probably wouldn't know that it exists. And if they don't know that it exists, they can't apply for those programs. So we provide them with information about those programs. But we also say to them, if you need us to help you fill out the application or anything you need in order to apply, we're here to help you and we're here to assist. We've done debates. We did the first ever provincial debate in the last provincial election where we had all the provincial leaders except for one show up to talk about issues that impact our community. So our community is affected by every single issue, but it impacts our community a little differently based on the structures of each system. So we had a debate and we had over 600 people come out to talk to the three leaders about different policies that they would implement if elected. And that was very, very successful. So we do this ongoing training, this ongoing way to get information out to our community and engagement with elected political leaders.
Yeah, and it's a reminder too that in so much there are barriers for all types of people to get into politics. One of the biggest barriers is just is getting involved itself and not knowing where to begin and not knowing what programs were out there. Because certainly I, even though I'm a politically tuned in person, would not know how to direct, if I had a child old enough to be a page, I would not know how to direct them to where they would get the information on that program on how to apply.
Exactly. And we find that in our community that's one of, when we say to people, why aren't you involved? One of the reasons why they're not involved, they don't know where the entry point is. Like, how do I get involved? Where do I go to get involved?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially for provincial and federal parties, I think they need to be more transparent in how people can get involved, be more transparent in how people can run for political office. And it needs to be in plain English, right on their website to say, if you want to run, these are the things that you need to do. First step, second step, third step. And not assume that people know what the process is.
Exactly. It seems a bit weird to say this over 5 minutes into the podcast, but I do want to lay a bit of groundwork.
Okay.
In terms of, and I imagine you have these stats close at hand, but in terms of the number of seats altogether, when we're talking about municipal governments, provincial governments, the federal government, what percentage of those seats are currently held by Black Canadians?
Okay, so for the municipal government, it's harder to get that information. I mean, in Ontario alone, I think we have 333 municipalities. So it's just harder to get that information. I know in the city of Toronto, we have one Black city councillor. So in Ontario, we have seven. In the federal government, we have four Black and Caribbean elected officials. And I say Caribbean because Hedy Fry is from the Caribbean, but she doesn't identify as Black.
Mm.
And then provincially, I can't remember the number, I think it's like 7 or 9 Black elected officials. So the numbers are not great at all.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely has to improve. I think it's not a lack of trying. I know municipally, we had an increase in the amount of people who are running municipally across Ontario. It just didn't translate into being elected as a city council person.
Mm-hmm. Those, honestly, those numbers are even smaller than I thought.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. And there's none right now in Ontario. We don't have an elected, a Black elected person in the governing party, right now in Ontario. So all the policies or anything that's coming out of government isn't, there's no one at the table saying, no one's speaking on our behalf from an experience, from a Black experience lens.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so part of that too is the numbers are also not representative when you think about the total Black population in Canada, that even just the saying, like, I don't know, how do you know off the top of your head how big the Black population is in Canada, the Black and Caribbean population?
We have
is?
About 1.2 million, it's 3.5% of the population.
Okay, so we're not even close to 3.5% representation.
No, we're not even close to that. We're not even close to that at all.
Is there a difference for the candidates you assist or people running for office? Is there a difference between accessibility, I guess in the different systems of government, do Black Canadians find it an easier time maybe running provincially or federally as opposed to municipally? Because I do find that fascinating that the city of Toronto has exactly one Black city councillor.
Yes. So I think we do have an easier time running and winning provincially and federally. Because in those cases, you are the nominated candidate for a particular riding, and people are voting for, the party, right?
Mm-hmm.
You happen to be the person in this riding, but people are voting for the party on the party platform that best suits them. So if political parties run a Black person in, one of their top 20 ridings or their winnable ridings, and they win, chances are that Black person is also going to win too, because you're really running for the platform of the party. When it comes to municipal, it's different because there is the party system and it's all about name recognition. And if you are a sitting councillor, you have the name recognition. You also have a seat up in the next election. You're able to send out materials as a city councillor. You're able to go to different community celebrations and events to get your name out there and be involved. Whereas if you're just coming in as a candidate for city council, unless you're very active in the community and people know your name and know your work, it's very hard to get into city politics.
Right, and there are all sorts of
especially if there's an incumbent.
Right, and there's all sorts of barriers to getting involved in politics or getting involved in the community, like
exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. One of the reasons I did want reach out to you and wanted to talk to you was I look at my own city council and it is almost unanimously white. And then I look at the statistics and I looked at them this morning. Almost 20% of Guelph is part of some recognized racial minority. So theoretically, 3 members of my city council should, be representative of that. Putting that aside, though, another thing I noticed when I'm at the council chambers, when we do have in-person meetings of council, we obviously do not because of COVID, but one of the things I notice is the delegates coming up are predominantly white as well. And so much so that if a person of color does come and delegate at city council, it is sort of immediately noticeable that they are not from the white community.
Yes.
I'm wondering from your experience and your expertise, what are the barriers? Like, because one of the things I really want to get to the ground in is how do we make it comfortable for people of color to feel like they can access these levers of power and be able to come into the council chambers and talk about their experience and talk about their issues. And I recognize too that that for a lot of white people, this is a barrier as well, but especially for people of color in our community, how do we start knocking down those barriers, and what are those barriers?
So it goes back to what we talked about before, access to the information. Do we even know that we're able to go in and do a deputation on an issue that's being discussed at a council? If you don't know that you're able to go and voice your opinion, then you're not going to show up. How is city councilor ensuring that, you know, everybody in the community knows that this issue is coming up, and these are the days when you could come to City Hall and do deputation and speak for or against this particular issue? That's number one. Number two, when are these deputations being happening? Is it during the daytime when people are working? Is it, you know, right at the dinner time when people have to get dinner together and get their kids arranged? Perhaps, you know, have these deputations at different times of the day so people can choose when it's best appropriate for them to come out and do these deputations. And also, it's one of those things, is City Hall an environment where people who are not white feel as if they could come in and feel comfortable, make a difference, and being included? And not just having diversity, because diversity is just a picture, but being included meaning coming in, doing a deputation, and actually being taken seriously and not feeling as if they're being, you know, condescending or that it was just all for naught. So those are three things that City Hall can do right away. It shouldn't cost anything to do. Because there must be a way that the people who are coming to the deputation, how do they know about it?
Right.
So if they know about it, then City Hall is doing something to ensure that certain segment of the population understands what's going on. And I understand that for the most part, some of those people who are doing deputations, it might be something that is very close to them. It could be, let's say, if they're doing a deputation on the environment, perhaps it's an environmentalist. So that's, it's their job to know. But aside from those people whose job to know what's happening at City Hall, I'm quite sure there are other people who are just concerned citizens. How do they get the information? And make sure that everybody else gets the information.
I think part of that too is, and I think it's part of, I think, speaking as a white person myself, we worry about how do we have these conversations and not sound like we're A, pandering, and, you know, B, sounding completely ignorant. I think a more general concern of a white person to sound ignorant rather than trying to get to a matter of solving the ignorance itself. But I guess is it just a matter of being direct, of like having our city council and having our city staff sort of saying to our community and going like directly to those groups that organize, you know, we have the Guelph Black Heritage Society here. We have the Guelph Muslim Society for people who are of the Muslim faith here. Is it just a matter of direct communication that we just have to do the legwork of going to those communities directly? There's kind of no shortcut to it. We have to be just that direct.
Exactly. But I think in doing that, you need to do it for every issue, and not just issues that you think may be concerned of that community.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes that happens, right? You know, you get called in for an issue, or issue that you think, okay, the black community is going to be concerned about that, so let's bring in a black group. We're concerned about every single issue because it affects us differently. So people tend to assume that we're only concerned about certain things. So I think you're right. They need to go directly to communities that are not represented at these deputations, but they need to do it consistently and not just for certain issues. They need to do it across the board and all the time. And I think, you know, if they do that for a year or, you know, 6 months, I am sure that, you know, communities will realize that, wait a minute, this issue is coming up. I hear it on the news. Let me figure out when they're going to do the deputation so maybe I can go and speak. I think once the community knows that these things happen on a regular basis, you won't have to do as much direct contact in the future because they know that it's a process that's happening. If you don't know that it's happening, then you're not going to show up.
Yeah, make it a habit.
make it a habit. And I think for some people, they might think that they need an invitation to come to speak to city councilors. Well, I didn't get that invitation, so I can't go. I see people speaking to city council, but they probably got an invitation to come and voice their opinion and not realize that, you know, as a taxpaying person, you can go and voice your opinion.
And that's reinforced a lot in some place like Guelph, where, God bless him, you see a lot of the same people delegating on a lot of different issues, and it makes it seem like there's a select group of people whose feedback is invited for council, rather as opposed to these are just regular citizens who are highly attuned politically as a matter of habit.
Right. And I could guarantee you that, you know, there are city councilors who will tell certain constituents that, you know, this is coming up, come, you know, and these are the days when the deputation is going to happen, put your name on the list to speak. I am sure that, you know, they get certain, there are certain people who get heads up to come and speak. And I bet you that for some of those people, they repeat, right? They're always there. They're always speaking on issues. And some people do that because, you know, they want to make their community a better place. And others do that because they have other aspirations, right?
Right. Yeah, networking is such a big part of this, right? That people are in their own enclaves. They have their own fields, their own areas of interest, and often that's inadvertently a barrier because you're creating, again, inadvertently you're creating those barriers because these are people you are already connected with and whose feedback you already seek out, and it's and it's all incidental, right? Because I mean, even though your job as a city councilor is outreach, that's not always as possible as or as far-reaching as you like. It's a matter of changing thinking a bit.
Right. And, you know, oftentimes people will, I mean, if you're into data, you'll say, well, you know what, these particular war, I mean, in my ward, these particular polls didn't come out to vote, and they have certain types of people in these polls. So they didn't come out to vote, so they probably don't care about the issue. So why am I going to engage them about the issue, right? So, you know, but this particular poll, lots of people came out to vote, and, you know, they're listening to what's happening. So I'm going to engage them on the issue, and I know what they, you know, what they want me to do. So let me bring them out. Let me highlight them. And I think that sometimes happens. I'm not saying it happens on purpose, but it's something that at times will happen in politics. You think that because people don't vote, that they don't care. And not actually asking, why didn't you vote? Or why couldn't you vote?
Yeah, it's a matter of equality, not just the equality of people and making sure all people are equal, but it's also an equality of issues that you go to all communities on all issues equally because you don't know what matters to everybody.
Exactly. And you touched on something that I thought a bell went off in my head was the networking, right? When you're networking, I think people need to think of, you know, what is your blind spot? Look at your network and see who's in your network. And if the same types of people in your network, then you need to broaden your network. You need to bring more people in because your ideas and thoughts are just being recycled. There's nothing new coming in if you're the same types of people. So I would tell people to look at their networks and expand the network. The more diverse and inclusive your network is, the better outcomes you're going to get on any particular issue.
And that makes me think, too, that, and I see it online a lot, which should not be surprising, but, you know, the incredible cynicism that is out there in some quarters about the work of city governments, the decisions they make. I wonder about I guess, at the same time we're trying to invite people in, we're also combating a type of cynicism, as you were saying, like people wondering, does their voice matter? Does their vote matter?
Right.
I guess the one helps solve the other, doesn't it?
It does. But, you know, I always, like, people will say to me, what do I need to do to get more Black people to come to my organization or my party? And I say, you know, what is your environment like? If I show up, am I going to feel comfortable? If I show up, is there going to be microaggression? If I show up, am I invited? am I going to be able to bring other people that look like me to, or you just want me? So I think those are things that, you know, also prevent people from doing, from participating.
Is it a matter of practice, do you think? Like, I don't mean making it a practice. Obviously, that's the goal. But in terms of, like, we can't be discouraged that at one time we invite people and they don't come and we just throw up our hands and go, well, I guess they don't want to take part. This is a process that
yes.
you have to keep up.
Yes, it is a process. And it's not, like I would say, one and done. It's going to take work. It's going to take a lot of work. And it may not, you know, you may not get the results you want the first time, but you need to continue, because I think we've seen it where it's been one and done, and then we've ended up to where we are right now with no representation. Maybe the person that you sought after isn't the right person. Maybe there's certain things that are going on in their lives that they can't participate in the way that you want to participate. You know, keep on going. Keep on going to different networks, different groups. I mean, the Black community is not monolithic. So, you know, there are so many different groupings of us that you need to go to all the groupings. And just don't think because you went to one person and they had one view of how this should be, or that's it. There are other views in the community as well. And there are people in the community that want to participate but just don't know how to.
Right. Looking ahead to not just involvement, but, you know, getting more representation on government, there was an interesting debate here in Guelph. It was on social media, so anyone could see it. But one of the city councilors talked about his own biases and how to encourage more people of color to get involved and actually hopefully take a place on council one day. And, of course, somebody... perhaps it was a bit of smart aleck, but perhaps pointedly said that, you know, well, why don't you resign your seat so that you can make room for a person of color, right?
Yeah.
So for the people who do find themselves on council right now, who have, you know, again, been elected and believe they're there to serve the community, how should they be encouraging diversity? And how should they be, I guess, lifting up people in the community who want to take their seat? it seems like a weird question. Like, how do we get more people to take seats away from the current councillors, even if people are satisfied with the councillors? And it goes back to the thing I think you said, that we sort of, you know, envision government as one way. And I guess... It's a weird question, and I'm kind of figuring out how to ask. I think you know where I'm going, but, you know, how do we say to these people on council, like, thanks, but we want different people now? And how do they say, you know, I'm going to make room for somebody else?
Right. So it's not like, you know, add water and mix and then voila, right? It's one of those things where, as I said before, in terms of city council, incumbency rule, right? So, and this is an opinion, my opinion, it's not Operation Black Vote's opinion. I think there should be term limits, because if there's term limits, then there's always an opportunity for fresh people to come in. I don't know about your city council, but, you know, in Toronto, there's been people who've been a city councilor for 20 years, 25 years. Like, come on, right? And they will continue to win because they have the name recognition. At city council, you know, on almost every ballot, there's 5, 6, 7, 8 people. And you going in and you think, okay, who are all these people? Oh, I know his name. Okay, I'm going to check him off. You know, I spoke to him once, or I called his office. So I think there needs to be a way to make room for other people coming in and not just run against the existing people there, because chances are, and the stats shows, that incumbency always wins, most likely will win, unless, you know, successful. So that is a very, very hard question. I think, you know, you can't, that particular city councilor made a comment, and then, you know, somebody in the audience made another comment. You know, it's kind of, yeah. So if you want more city councilors, but there's not, so if you have 10 city councilors, but you want more diversity, someone has to go.
Right.
Someone has to go to make space. Unless you want to expand city council, which you can't. You have to do it for themselves, right? So someone has to go in order to have more representation of the community. Then somebody has to step aside.
For that to happen. It's just that simple.
Somebody has to step aside, yeah. Now, there's no guarantee that it's going to be a racialized person that gets that spot, but at least there's an opportunity for a racialized person to get that spot because that person stepped aside. I find a lot in city council, and I can't talk about any other city but Toronto, that usually when a city councilor steps aside or retires, they usually have been permitting somebody to take their spot.
Right.
So it could be a family member, a friend, a staffer, someone that works for them. So there's always somebody like, oh, I think, you know, I'm thinking of retiring, leaving. I think this person could take my spot. And they don't usually just leave and say, okay, it's open. Anybody can run. And I think there needs to be that kind of transparency when, you know, when you step away or retire, then, you know, it's not your seat to give away. It's not your seat to lend to somebody else. The seat, it should be open and free for anybody to run.
That's true, but I do also sense that you may be onto something here as well, that, you know, there should be mentorship. Maybe we do need some sort of program at City Hall where we invite marginalized communities in to learn the ropes and take advantage of that mentorship so that, you know, they can be more ready and prepared to step into those seats when they open.
That's a good idea, but do you think anybody's going to train somebody to take their job away from them?
No.
Exactly. And they would have to, I mean, so I'm a mentor this year. How long do I have to wait to actually run for a seat that's empty? Because chances are if I run for a seat that's already incumbent, I'm not going to win, right? So how long do I wait before something becomes available?
The idea is not fully formed, I admit, but, you know, I it does strike me that there is a role, you know, if not for the counselors themselves, but for schools to, you know, take young people into the council chambers and sort of give more of that basic civics knowledge.
Right. I think, you know, aside from being elected officials, my other question would be how many Black people are in senior level positions at the city level, right? In the bureaucracy. How many Black staffers are there in city councilors' offices? Because that also helps with policy. That also helps with, you know, being able to see somebody who's representing you at decision-making tables. City councils are great, but there are people who advise city councils. There's people who do the research that says, you know, this is the way the restroom should go based on this research. So another angle is, Where are the black staffers at City Hall? And I'm not talking about, you know, the ones that you see when you come into the building that say hi to you and take your name down. I'm talking about the ones who sit at decision making tables that make decisions for everybody in the city.
That's a great point too, and I can think of one here in Guelph. The city solicitor is a identifiable person of color. One. We're back to one.
Yes, one. One, and you said 20% of golf is racialized.
Yeah, one. Yeah, right.
Not good.
No, it's not good.
But you know what? It's not good in Guelph, but you know what? I think it's across the board as well. So I don't want to just pick on Guelph, but I'm just saying that because you're in Guelph. But it's across the board. We need more representation at every single level, municipal, provincial, federally. We need more Black representation elected, but also those who are making decisions at senior tables in the bureaucracy.
Absolutely. This is the Guelph Politicast, though, so we will stick to Guelph. in terms of, we have another municipal election in a little over 2 years. 2 years can go by in a flash, and one of the things I think I want to get out of this, and I think probably a lot of people who have been newly politically activated because of the renewed interest in Black Lives Matter the last month and a half, is, you know, what can we do? Like, what can we do starting now that we can sort of lay that groundwork in 2 years when it's another election day here in Guelph and across Ontario, that we can, well, number one, have more politically active and informed people of color taking part in the debates, and two, how do we increase that representation around our council table by the time election night is over?
Right. So, again, there is, we don't have a magic answer. I have a couple of suggestions. Identify people in the community who you think would make a good city councilor, and start prepping that person. So rallying around that person, starting like a little kitchen table, figure out where that person would run. What's important is that to run at any level, you need money, you need supporters. So is there a BIA that's going to support this person? Is there a group of people that says, you know, if you run, we will help you fundraise, we will donate to your campaign? So that would be the first thing. Identify people in the community that you think could run and support them in all the ways they need support in order to be able to run it in 2 years. And also, I think I would look at the city councilors who are not progressive and figure out a way to, you know, vote them out. I mean, there are people who still think, and I don't, again, I'm not in Guelph, but this is just in general, this is that there isn't such thing as anti-Black racism.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a leader, if you're a person who's making decisions, if you're an elected official and you don't believe that, then every single policy that comes to you for you to vote on, you won't be able to see it through that lens. And that's detrimental to Black people in your community.
Those are all great suggestions. And I kind of want to leave things off with a kind of general question. And in terms of, you know, thinking about systemic racism and how our systems are barriers to racialized people, do you think the municipal governance system is that system racially biased? And I guess that's, if it is, that will be the first step that will have to be sort of overcome.
So I think all systems are racially biased because when they were created, they weren't created to include other people other than middle-class white men. So in order to have any type of progression, we need to dismantle the system. And when I say dismantle, I'm not saying take a hammer to it. I mean, look at the policies that exist and figure out which policies that are anti-racist, that are homophobic, that are Islamophobic. Look at the policies through those lens, and if that's the case, get rid of that policy, change the policy. And I think what people don't realize is that when we say that systems are racist or have anti-Black racism embedded in them, it's because it wasn't created for us. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't created for us, then anything when we are involved in that system, the policies won't benefit us at all.
Okay.
So yes, we're going to have to, I mean, as I said, it's not something that's going to be done quickly. It takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of commitment to actually get it right and done.
Mm-hmm. Be patient, be direct, keep trying.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? And have those courageous and difficult conversations, and there'll be times when you're going to be uncomfortable, and you have to be okay with being uncomfortable, because that's the only way we're going to get through this and make a system that benefits everybody.
Good enough. So Velma, I'm just going to do a quick, you know, thanks for being on the show, to so I can end the recording.
Okay.
All right. So, Velma Morgan, thank you so much for all your insights today. I hope we get a chance to put them into practice here in Guelph, and hopefully, we'll keep trying, we'll keep being patient, we'll keep being direct, and hopefully, we will find enough people in our community to have those difficult conversations. And thanks for starting that off.
Well, thank you for having me. And if you need us to come down to Guelph and do a workshop or help out in any way, that's what we do, and we will be willing to do that.
All right. That sounds great.
And once again, that was Velma Morgan. To learn more about Operation Black Vote Canada or to take Morgan up on her generous offer for political engagement training, you can find all that information at obvc.ca. And keep in mind, the opening of nominations for that 2022 municipal election is now less than 2 years away. In the meantime, that's it for the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is usually recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can download it from the host at Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. Check out Guelph Politico on Facebook at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico. And you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.